Well, you know, one reason that people aren't successful in life and business is because they're not secure in who they are. Now, in 1 Peter 2:10, and I'm going to read this from the New King James and then the New Living, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have attained mercy. The New Living says it a little better. Once you had no identity as a people, you are now God's people. Once you received mercy, now you've received God's mercy. You know, we may have been a nobody, but God identifies us as his. We need to stop looking everywhere for an identity and realize that our identification is in Christ. We become stronger in every area of our life. You know, in the day we're living in, there's a lot of people that are mixed up in with their identity. But a little funny story. Two not too smart men plan to rob a home and were concerned about the owner waking up. They decided one of them would go in first and then the other would go in. If the owner woke up, they decided to respond to the owner by saying, meow, so the owner would think that it was his cat. The first not too smart burglar went in, and when the owner woke up and asked, who is it? The burglar said, meow. The owner said, oh, it's just the cat, and went back to sleep. The second guy came in. They're not very smart, remember this. They wouldn't have been trying to do it that way anyway, but the owner once again heard a noise and asked who it was. Now, this not too smart burglar tried to remember what they were supposed to say and finally remembered about a cat, so he responded, it's the cat. I'm sure that didn't go over very well. But the problem was, not too smart burglar forgot what his identity was supposed to be. You know, if your identification is not based on a solid foundation, you tend to sort of ride a roller coaster. You'd be over here this day and over here and up there and around and about. And some people, they base their identity on somebody else. They try to identify with a television character or a sports figure, singer, and they try to talk and dress, do their hair just like them. And then some other people, they identify with what they have. Their problem. They refer to themselves as victims or sick or poor or failure or something. Now, other people identify with their profession, lawyer, fireman, policeman, athlete. Some of these people are so strong in their identity in that job, if they lose their job, they lose their identity. But our identity is bigger than what we do or the real identity is on the inside of you, who you are. And we find a solid basis in the Word of God that no matter what happens, our identity remains the same. If you notice these things that I talked about, they change. So don't let anything define who you are but the Word of God. Now let's look in Mark chapter 6. Then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things, and what wisdom is this which he is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Hos and Judas and Simeon? And are not his sisters with us? So they were offended at him. Let's read that in the New Living. Jesus left that part of the country and turned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. The next Sabbath, he began teaching in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. They asked, where did he get all this wisdom and power to perform such miracles? Then they scoffed. He's just a carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simeon. And his sisters live right here among us. They were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. Now, these people are in Jesus' hometown. And they thought they knew who Jesus was. You know, I can go back to my hometown, Garland, Texas. And I see somebody and they, oh, Hagen, how you doing? Well, they're identifying me when we were in high school together, because that's what I was called. There's a bunch of us, a whole bunch of us in the same grade. Well, it started in the sixth grade. We're all in the same class, and there was six of us, and all of us had the name Kenneth, Kenny, or Ken. So we had to figure out some way to identify. So Kenneth Hunter became Hunter, I became Hagen, Leatherwood become Leather, and Kenny Leatherwood. So, but you see, they're identifying me with them when we were in school. Now, if I hear somebody say Kenneth Wayne, then I know that it's somebody that identifies me as a relative, or it's such a close friend that was almost like a relative because he was always around the house. Any of y'all have any friends like that they've around the house so much they almost become like relatives? See, they are identifying me with when we knew one another. Some of these people I may not have seen in years, you know. And, in fact, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, we did a meeting in Phoenix, and Anthony came back. He's, you know, he's on the road with us. And he said, hey, there's a guy out here that said that he knows you, and he says his name is Paul Allen. I said, well, I guess he does know me. I said, that's A. Allen's son. And I said, We went to Canyonville Bible Academy together, and the last time I saw him, or me or him saw each other, is 1957. It was the 56-57 school year. You see, he was identifying me because we went to school together. Many people will identify you in the era that you knew them. These people were identifying Jesus in the setting that they knew him, not for who he really was. The carpenter, Mary's boy. His brothers and sisters are right here. They were identifying him simply in a natural standpoint, not from a spiritual standpoint. Now, many people, you know, they let different things come in and mess with their identification. The devil likes to do this, and he likes to come in and begin to identify us with our past. Or then we begin to be identified with what other people say. Then he brings the problems in our lives. Then he brings experiences. And then he brings in expectations that your family's expecting of you. Then he talks about the environment. All of those things have something to do with our identification if we let it. People have a problem sometimes in accepting you for who you really are. They say you're unacceptable, you're not on my status, you're not smart enough to run with us. And you know, the list goes on. But God is your creator. He's the one that tells you who you are. And everyone that is born again becomes a new creation, becomes a new person that didn't exist before. And of course, we all know 2 Corinthians 5:17, it's something we know, everybody. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. New Living says it. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, the new life has begun. And then I sort of like what J.B. Phillips' version says, for if a man is in Christ, he becomes a new person altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything has become fresh and new. Now, when it's using man there, it's talking about mankind. It's talking about everybody. Spiritually speaking, our life in Christ is our identification in the spirit realm. Now, we have identification in the natural. We all know that. In the natural, you have to have proper identification to do business at the bank. I mean, I can go to the bank, and I've been going there for years, and they still want, if I'm cashing a check or something, they still want to see identification. How many of you have flown on a plane recently? Did you have to show some type of identification that said who you were? Yeah. In fact, you know, in June we went to Brazil and then Colombia and then Guatemala and back here. And you know what? Every one of those countries, I had to identify myself with a U.S. passport. So, we do have things that we identify in the natural, but there are things on the other side that we need to have realize what our identification is. You see, and you know, I say it all the time, pastor says it to you all the time, we are natural and we are supernatural. We live in two worlds at the same time. The natural world and the supernatural are the spiritual world. And what's my saying? When the natural and the supernatural work together, they become an explosive force for God. It's not all natural, but it's not all supernatural either. Have any of you ever met some of these Christians and everything is on the spiritual side? You know, somebody said something that I say recently, it could have been 2 years ago. I don't know. My years get all mixed together. I've only been going for about 45 years now, so they're starting to get mixed together. No. But this guy, he said, now did you hear, he come up to me in one of my meetings somewhere, and he said, did you hear what so-and-so said? I said, no, what did they say? And he told me what to say. I forgot. I let it go one in out the other after I heard. He said, now what does that really mean? I mean, he got like that. Oh, like, man, this is, I said, I don't know what you're talking about. And he looked at me sort of funny, and when I didn't respond, he just turned and walked off. I mean, some people, everything is spiritual. You see some people, and they say, oh, Do you have a word for me? Yeah, I got a word for you. Get in the Word of God and find out what it says, and you don't have to ask anybody. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, and then there's some people that are so naturally minded, they're not any spiritual good. There's a balance. I better go. That's not even in these notes. Okay. When you realize that this is an official document purchased with the blood of Jesus that gives us legal identity in the spirit world. You think there's not identification in the spirit world? Go over there and read where the sons of Sceva, they were gonna cast out the devil like Paul, and they went up and they cast the devil out and said, told him to leave in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. And the devils inside of them said, Jesus we know and Paul we know, but who are you? They didn't have an identification in the spirit world. Hello? Because of who we are in Christ, we have an identification in the spirit world. And that's stronger than any identification that you have. It's stronger than your past, stronger than your family lineage. It's stronger than what you do in life. It's stronger than any problem that you face. God identifies us in Christ in his death, his burial, his resurrection, and in our seating. You know, if you're a sports person, you know, we got the World Series that are going on. We got NBA basketball starting. We got football that's going on. And they keep talking about when they get to the tournaments, how these people are going to be seated. Hello? Well, the Bible says that even though we're here, but in Christ, we're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Where is Christ seated? Right next to the Father. See, when we really begin to understand our identification in Christ, we become we can be stronger in our Christian walk. Our prayer life is enhanced. We're stronger with our faith. You know, God calls every one of us who we are in Him. Not who we are because of this, that, or the other. Don't matter how much money you have or don't have. Don't matter whether you have good looks or don't have no looks at all. My dad used to say, you need to look in the mirror and do the best you can with what you've got to work with. That's what I tell myself every day. Just do the best you can with what you got left to work with. You know, if you notice in the Word of God, God called different people. He called Gideon a mighty valiant or a mighty warrior, and he was hiding from the enemy. He called Abraham the father of many, and he didn't even have any. When we receive Christ as our Savior, we get a new name. Instead of sinner, we become Christian. Instead of lost, we're found. Instead of enemy, we're friend. Instead of unrighteous, we're righteous. Instead of sick, we're healed. Instead of poor, we're prosperous. See, that's who we are in Christ. Our identity is established in Christ, and that's how God looks at us. He looks at us as a redeemed person. He looks at us as a person that is found. He looks at us as a righteous person. He looks at us as healed. He sees us as prosperous. Don't matter whether you are or not, that's how God sees you. So begin to read the Word of God. Say what the Word of God says about you receiving what He said belongs to you. Now, I'm not talking about some of this junk that some of these people are doing now, and I don't have time to get into that, but they're way out in left field with this prosperity message. The prosperity message is true, but they get out in left field. And when they do that, a lot of people start rejecting anything that has to do about being prosperous. But the Bible talks about being prosperous, but it's not like they're talking about. Now, that's something I better get off of. Okay. All right. You know, knowing who we are in Christ helps us identify ourselves. And it helps us to know what we can accomplish. Even in the natural, you have to know who you are and what you can do in order to be successful. I mean, hey, you know, now I can get up here and speak because I've always had the ability, and even in school, to do plays and speech and stuff. But you see, you don't want me to try to sing. I got enough sense to know that that's not something I can do. You don't want me to try to play the keyboard either. Hello? It would sound like this. In fact, I wrote this song. It's called Storm in the Mountains. And I wrote this song called Storm in the Mountains. Thunder, lightning, storm in the mountains. That's about what it would sound like if I was there. And don't some of you look at me like that. It'd do the same thing if you were up there. You don't have that talent. We have things in our natural, but God has given us things to do that we can accomplish in the spiritual. Everybody's not going to be up here. Everybody's not going to be singing. But everybody has a job that they can do in the church, the local church and the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones. That's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all of us that are born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, we're called a new creation. We are called the righteousness of God. And in 2 Corinthians 5:21. In 1 Peter 1:24, we're called healed. In 2 Corinthians 8:9, we're called rich. In Ephesians 1:6, we're called accepted. In Romans 6:20-22, we're called free. 1 John 4:4, we have overcome the world. We have all of this because of who we are in Christ. There's a little book out there called In Him, written by the man that had a say, Kenneth Hagin, and that's my name too, but that's his name, Kenneth E. And I'm Kenneth W. And it's got, if you want to understand your identity, he's already, you don't have to go look, he's got all these scriptures listed there for you, telling you who you are in Christ, what you can do because you're in Christ. And you see, what we need to understand is we talk about making our faith confessions and making confessions, but we need to make a part of every day of making one statement, at least one statement, of who you are in Christ. Identifying who you are in Christ. Letting Satan know who you are in Christ. He needs to know that you know who you are. I mean, when your feet hit the floor in the morning time, the devil ought to start screaming, okay, every man for himself. Whatever your name is, mine's Kenneth. Kenneth up. Come on now. We need to realize that we have authority because of who we are in Christ. And it all rests, the foundation of it is right here in the Word of God because of what Christ did at Calvary. You know, in that little book in him on page 9, Dad says this: everything the Bible says is ours. The Bible is a legal document sealed by the blood of Jesus. However, it's your believing it, your confessing it, which makes it a reality to you. You know, a lot of people always talk about what they want to be and what they should be and what they could be and what they're going to be. Hey, I am. We need to get to the point that we need to be able to say, I am, confessing who we are in Christ. Boldly, not mealy-mouthed. You know, some people say, you better be careful now, the devil here. Yeah, that's the person that needs to know. I think I've told you this before, but I think it's 1957, I think it was. Dad was out in California, and they had a flu epidemic break out, and they were even closing schools down, and they'd been having about 200 in the morning time and 500-600 at night at the meeting. That morning they had 27 people there, and 10 of them was preachers, ministers, and after service they're standing around on the platform talking, and one man said, yeah, I always get the flu. I'm going to go home and get ready to get the flu. Another asked Dad, well, you going to close this meeting, Dad? They said, no, I'm not going to close it down. And he said, well, aren't you afraid you'll get the flu? Dad said, no, I ain't afraid I'm going to get the flu. And the man said, shh, don't talk so loud, the devil will hear you. And my dad, some of you think you knew him, but you didn't. He just looked at him and said, that's the very dude I want to know to hear me. You see, we need to get to the point that we are saying who we are in Christ, because it gives us our entitlement to receive everything that God said was ours. We need to possess everything. We need to pursue necessary changes if we need them, so we can follow the direction that God gives us. We need to move in the power of God. We need to position ourselves by knowing who we are in Christ to receive. And then we need to learn how to persevere when it doesn't look like it's going to happen. Just because it looks like it doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. The Word of God says it, I believe it, that settles it. That's a saying from my dad, I've got it, I say it all the time. I say that all the time. We've got to remember who we are in Christ and learn to get up every day and confess it. Everybody stand. It's 4 minutes till time to quit, okay? Make these confessions with me. These are some that you don't need to do them, all of them, but one or two of them you need to do every day. Make this: I'm crucified with Christ. I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm a child of God, a member of God's family. I'm an heir of God and joint heir with Jesus Christ. I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus. I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I am chosen in Him. I'm adopted by Him. I am accepted in the beloved. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm justified by faith. I am sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Don't be afraid to confess who you are in Christ. God said, I am. And Jesus said, I am. And you read it there in the New Testament in the Gospels. And we can say, I am, because we are in Christ, and everything in this book belongs to us. It's mine. I can have it, and the devil ain't going to take it away from me. And I'm going to be just like I was when I was a kid, and one of the neighbor's boys trying to take my toy. I said, that's mine. You can't have it. Now, I know none of y'all did that, but I did. That's the way I am with Satan. Mr. Satan, this is mine. You can't have it. In the name of Jesus. Identify who you are and live the good life, because he said he wanted us to live the good life, John 10:10. So if we're going to live the good life, you've got to learn who you are in Christ and then begin to live in that identity. Heavenly Father, tonight I just ministered to these people for a few moments to remind them of who they are in Christ and what they can accomplish because they're in Christ. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior and you can't get in on what I've been talking about, well, as we're dismissed, the ladies are here, the men are over here. If you will come down here, they'll pray with you and you'll be in the family, and then you can begin to receive that. Or if you're here and you know what it is to serve God, but you got off course and sort of detoured and you need to rededicate your life, come down here. They can do that. If you need prayer for anything, come down here at the end of the service and they'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Did you get a hold of who you are? Then begin to live in that identity. Shake hands with somebody, and we'll see you Sunday morning right here. Listen, connection team, find that guest and take them to receive a special gift. If you're looking for a home, church home, this is it. Just come on back here and be with us. God bless you. If you need prayer for any reason, for anything, come to the front right now.